You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you episode number 55. So, pretty straightforward week this week. Nothing too special. A couple of releases and a pretty cool update to an app. I'll round it out with a quick tip, mostly for iOS and Android users, just because I didn't actually check for Windows Phone, but that's about it. So with that, I will jump right into this week's theme, which is a closing entry. So this is an entry that's, in general, it's a journal entry that's made at the end of an accounting period, which transfers the ending balances from temporary accounts into the permanent accounts on the balance sheet and or income statement accounts to clear the temporary accounts and to also properly allocate those funds that were allocated there to begin with. This is mainly done to clear out those temporary accounts so that their account balances are zero for the next period, and you know that those temporary balances are for only that period. You generally don't want to carry over those balances. And you want to properly allocate all funds that come in and out of your accounts and keep them recorded in the proper period. So that's really all for that. So I will jump right into this week's tech news. To start it off, Microsoft Flow is now available in beta for Google Play. It's available for select devices. This is a more business side app to kind of emulate what apps like If This Then That do, but for more productivity and that sort of automation. Telltale Games announced this week that the first chapter of the Batman game will be released on August 2nd, so look out for that. It'll be available for Android, iOS, Xbox, PlayStation, and I think a few other platforms as well. Meizu announced a new smartphone this week called the MX6. It comes with a 5.5-inch display, a DECA-core processor, 4 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of storage, a 12-megapixel front camera, 5-megapixel rear camera, Android 6, and a 3060 milliamp-hour battery, so a very high-end device. I didn't see if it will have expandable storage. I want to assume it will, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But look out for that coming soon. For those of you on T-Mobile, they'll be offering free 4G speeds in Brazil for the Summer Olympics 2016 starting on August 1st, as long as you have a qualifying Simple Choice plan. And if you're in a family or know someone who's in a family of an Olympic member, they'll get additional rates, and there's promotions going on for them as well. Action Launcher version 3 got a pretty cool update this week. It's mostly for, or it's actually really only affects root users, or Android users who have a rooted device, but there's now alpha support for Google now in the official version 3.8.0 build, so that version is now in its final form, but it adds the alpha feature of being able to swipe to open Google Now, so essentially, it's a pretty straightforward process. You'll need, or once you install the Action Launcher version 3.8.0, and assuming you're already on root, you'll use a Root Explorer app like Root Explorer or Titanium Backup, and you'll copy or you'll make Action Launcher a system app. Once you do that, you'll be able to enable Google Now in Action Launcher. So when you swipe from right to left, or sorry, from left to right, you'll be able to open Google Now like you're on like you're using the Google Now launcher, or I think it's the Sony device that does the same thing. But like I said, it has one caveat in that you need to be a rooted user. So that's all for that. So Google Play Books got an update this week to now have something called Bubble Zoom. So when you're reading this mostly affects comic books, but when you're reading a comic book, you can now enlarge text in bubbles by double tapping on it. So if it's too small on the screen, or you want to read it a little bit more easily, just double tapping on the bubble will open it up. I started, and I think it's only for Marvel or in DC at the moment, or at least that's the first comics to be supported. But I purchased an Invisible Iron Man collection of comics, and it works pretty well so far. I've tried it on my mobile device, or on my smartphone. I'm going to try it on my tablet, see how well it works there. But It's a pretty nifty update to Google Play Books. And finally, WhatsApp Beta is getting an update, or got an update to now have voicemail and the ability to call back other users. So when you receive a call and it's a missed call, you can call them back, and people can now leave you voicemails as well. But that is all for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's quick tip, and that's the ability to disable auto-saving images and video in your device's gallery once you've saved to Instagram. So it's more of a pet peeve of mine. So when I've taken a picture and I share it to Instagram, it'll now save a second image in the Instagram folder on my device, and I end up having to go in and delete it every so often, just because I don't need duplicate images and I prefer the higher res picture or whatever in original image I took to begin with. And so poking around in the settings, I found out that it can be disabled, and it's a pretty easy fix. So all you do is you open up Instagram, you go click on your profile button, open up settings, and when you scroll down, you'll see two toggles. One is for saving images and one is for saving videos. When you turn that off, now anytime you share an image to Instagram, or a video for that matter, it will not save a duplicate copy in your gallery in the Instagram folder. It'll share it to Instagram, and that is it. It won't make a duplicate copy, and now your gallery will only keep whatever source images or videos you have there to begin with, and it helps keep your gallery that much more clean, and it does not take up any additional space. So in the show notes, I'll have a link to the video version of that, so you can check it out and see how it looks to make sure you're looking in the right place. It's a pretty quick video, but it's pretty easy to find, but in case you need visual cues. But that is all for that. So after the short break, I'll jump right into this week's entertainment segment. So this week's entertainment segment will be rather quick. I didn't have a chance to really watch too much. I am catching up on a lot of Vikings, so I'm almost done with season 3, so I should be done with that by next week. Other than that, I just had a chance to watch a couple of TV show episodes. This week I'll have a film review for a movie I heard a lot of things about. Then I'll talk about a few things from Star Wars Celebration 2016. And that'll round out the segment. So to start it off with some news, Netflix has made a deal with CBS to air the Star Trek series coming in 2017 internationally. So if you live outside the U.S., that'll be your way of getting Star Trek TV series. And otherwise, the TV series Black Sails, I think it's a Starz TV show, is canceled after season 4. So that is a season that's currently set to release in 2017. So if you're a fan of the show, there will be no more after the coming season, so a bit of bad news there, but they gave that bit of update, so it's hard to say at this moment if season 4 will come out as well, but if you haven't seen the first 3 seasons, it is actually a pretty good show, and it continuously gets better from with each episode and with each season. As far as what I watched this week, I had a chance to watch the Mr. Robot Season 2 premiere. So Season 2, Episode 1 and Episode 2, they're both Unmasked. So Unmasked Part 1 and Unmasked Part 2. So I really enjoyed it. Definitely a good start to the season and the continuation on the series. I haven't had a chance to watch the third episode yet. I am DVRing it to watch it over the weekend, so I can't wait to see where they go with it, but it is a lot of the fallout with what Mr. Robot has done and his attempts to get rid of his, or basically the guy in his head. I'll leave it at that, not to spoil too much in case you haven't seen the first season yet. I also had a chance to continue watching Preacher, so season 1, episode 8, El Valero. So, pretty interesting thing here. Same thing here with the preacher having trouble with the guy in his head, and the fallout with the community and the developer guy going against him, and the two angels from heaven trying to get the being out of the preacher himself. So that's all there is for that. So I will jump into this week's film review, and the film for this week is From Dusk Till Dawn. So it's a movie that released on January 19th, 1996 in the United States. I never really had a chance to watch it. I read the description and I started watching the movie. I was like, that's totally not what I was expecting, but I'll get into that in a little bit. The movie itself is 108 minutes long, so not too bad, about mid-range, about right for the period. The tagline for the movie is, "A terrifying evil has been unleashed, and five strangers are our only hope to stop it." The summary of the movie is, two criminals and their hostages unknowingly seek temporary refuge in an establishment populated by vampires, with chaotic results. So basically, for me reading that, I imagine going into it that it's going to be all vampires for the whole movie, or they're going to have a lot of stories on that, but it's not quite what I expected, and actually became better than I thought. So the movie's getting an IMDb rating of 73% with a Rotten Tomatoes score of 63% by the critics and 76% with the audience. So generally well-favored, nothing too well-favored, but for the most part, people liked it. It was enjoyable. I could see it maybe today it might not have done as well. Today, for me, it seemed like it was a good, fun movie, and overall, I think that score is about right. So right around the 65 to 75% range. So to start off the review, why did they kidnap the bank teller to begin with? So I think they talked about it a little bit, but we have two criminals, thieves, who are stealing money for some friends in Mexico, and they kidnap the bank teller. And it's never really explained why they kidnapped her. We know that on the news report they explained that they kidnapped her, but there was maybe it was just to have leverage in case they get caught. But at the point where they've made it to the convenience store, it didn't really seem like they were being chased too hard, and they were basically scot-free, so it was just a matter of getting across the border. But it didn't seem like they were too worried about being chased. We had the sheriff guy show up at that convenience store, but he wasn't really a threat, and he didn't seem to be too worried, and they didn't even seem to be looking in the area, so they were all set. A funny bit of information about the movie is that the movie changes directly at almost exactly the 1 hour mark. So right around that 1 hour and 48 seconds or 1 hour and a few minutes in, that's when we see the vampires, and we learn that the club that the two criminals are meeting their contact at is actually a vampire bar where they lure in truckers and drivers and feed on them. So I don't know. I just found it very precise that that's exactly where the movie changes direction. So the movie can actually be divided into two parts. The first half is a criminal thief getaway movie, and I could kind of see where they're trying to get away with it, kind of like a Blue Streak where he keeps a diamond and everything else happens after that. And then the rest of the movie, the last 48 minutes or so, is all about the vampires and a really weird, messed up situation. In a weird bit of casting for the movie, is Cheech Marin a vampire and a reverse vampire at the same time? So something that didn't really hit me until the end of the movie was that we had when the two thieves and the family in the trailer reached to the border, we have Cheech Marin as a border agent in full daylight, so it's not even full on nighttime. And then when we get to the bar, we see him as the door announcer guy at the same time. And at that point, he's already a vampire. So, and they were two distinct, or they felt like two distinct roles because they didn't really explain him in both roles. So my only real issue or bit of logic to apply here would be that he became a vampire and the less time it took the thieves to get to the bar, and he got a job at that bar as an announcer, but it wouldn't really explain the whole vampires sucking on everybody's blood at the same time. So it's kind of weird. So I want to figure that he's playing two distinct roles in the movie, which was funny and cool at the same time, but also a little bit weird that he's playing the two roles. The movie itself is called From Dusk Till Dawn, so for me it would have made more sense if it was, you know, showing more of dusk or sunset or about to get to nighttime. But the movie felt more like midday to dawn because it seemed like the thieves got away in the middle of the day, so it was more like mid-afternoon or afternoon time or high noon till dawn or something, where the first half of the movie is all about that afternoon robbing the bank and getting away, and then at night, by the time it's night, they get to the bar and they have to survive that. And finally, at the bar itself, I'll keep the proper name of the bar out of the conversation because it's probably slightly R-rated. The movie itself gets its name from the subtitle of the bar, From Dusk Till Dawn, because of the whole vampires at night thing. But if there's a door in the back, why don't the vampires fly in from both entrances and surround everybody to get at them? So when we're initially at the, when we get to the bar, we only have the front door, so we're led to believe that there's only the front entrance to that bar. But when they're panning out at the end of the movie around the outside of the bar, we see that there's a door on the back, and it's built on top of what looks like a Mayan pyramid, which was totally weird and unexplained, and they didn't really say anything about that. But if there's a door in the back, why didn't the bats try to get in that way, or did they try and did, was it locked or something? Or why didn't the vampires convert into their vampiric human form, open the door, and get in that way? So it's kind of weird that they didn't use it, and it was totally unexplained, and that they ended the movie without explaining the whole pyramid thing to begin with. So I guess we could fill in the whole thing as maybe that's why it's a vampire bar, that there's some significance there, but none of that was actually explained. So overall, it is worth watching. It is an, well, I don't want to say early, but it's a good George Clooney movie, good Quentin Tarantino movie. It does have the R rating because the bar that they go to in Mexico is, I'll just leave it at a strip club. So, at that point, up until that point, it's actually pretty normal. There is the usual amount of cursing and that sort of stuff. So, it is enough of an adult movie. So that's the only flip side there, but overall it's a fun movie. It's enjoyable. It is one of those, early or general George Clooney movies that I enjoy. In Ocean's 11 it was a good movie, but I didn't, basically the only movie I can think of where I didn't like him in was Batman and Robin, but that's a whole other story. But overall, a good movie, fun, entertaining. They kept it going, so the whole hour 48 didn't really seem like it, and it was a movie worth watching. So that's actually really all there is for that. So I'll jump into this week's Star Wars profile. And in this case, it's going to be some of the more interesting news from Star Wars Celebration Europe 2016. So to start it off, we got a new trailer for Rogue One. It's not a trailer proper, more than it's a behind the scenes for what went into making the, or was going into making the movie. Some behind the scenes of the new characters, the reasoning behind it, and all of that good stuff. We do learn, and this is, I say that because I don't remember it being brought up before, but the end of Rogue One is going to finish approximately 10 minutes before the start of Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, so there's a bit of context there. And then the attendees at Star Wars Celebration 2016 got to see a special trailer with Darth Vader, so hopefully we get that version on YouTube soon. I haven't seen it yet, so unless it's in the trailer they put out, but I'm not 100% sure on that. It was kind of quick, so I assume it was him, but then it was also not him, so I'm not sure how they went with it, but there's that to look out for. We also got a new trailer for Star Wars Rebels Season 3. This trailer is of note because it will reintroduce Grand Admiral Thrawn back into the canon for the Disney Star Wars universe. So previously, I'll also mention this, that Wedge Antilles is also back. Since he was in Star Wars Episode 4, I will say that he remains canon. So we will get in Star Wars Rebels Season 3 the introduction of Grand Admiral Thrawn. So look out for that. He is in the trailer. I did make a post to Instagram.com/Battellan01 if you want to check it out, where you can see what he's going to look like. So basically he's back to being canon, and they're going to release a new novel for him and his background and all of that into canon in 2017, so look out for that. In other news, Star Wars Battlefront is going to get a Death Star DLC, so look out for that if you guys play Star Wars Battlefront. And finally, Alden Ehrenreich, I hope I'm saying that right, is set or has been cast as Han Solo in his standalone movie, so that's a bit of interesting news there. So there's a lot of news that came out as well that's not related to these main items, so you can just do a search for Star Wars Celebration Europe 2016 to get all of those updates, news, images, and all videos and all of that good stuff. So with that, I also wanted to do a quick overview of Grand Admiral Thrawn as far as him in the legacy Star Wars universe, just so you get an idea of where he came from. We do learn more about him in the novels for that happened after Star Wars Episode 6. So I think it was the heir to the Empire. I don't want to say heir to the Empire trilogy, but it was in the heir to the Empire novels. So we had learned more about him. He's a male Chiss from the planet Scylla. So we'll see. That explains his blue tint for his skin. He's a Grand Admiral in the naval forces of the Empire. He was originally exiled from his own world due to his continued use of preemptive strikes. So he built his strategy on, or his war strategy on, seeing a situation that could potentially escalate and taking advantage of it to end the conflict ahead of time. He eventually did meet Emperor Palpatine, who introduced him into the Imperial Navy. If you're wondering how that happened, because the Empire was biased against aliens, there was a policy within the Empire for species who are not alien to be part of the Empire, and he met all those requirements. And because his strategies impressed the Emperor that much, that's how he was able to become part of the Navy. And because of his personal relationship and his abilities and tactics, he was able to rise in, or become a Grand Admiral. Eventually, he also was able to control various regions in the unknown regions. His reputation was well earned, and he was a really smart and intelligent admiral in the Navy, so that's how he was able to hang on to that and eventually rebuild the Empire after the destruction of the second Death Star, or attempt to rebuild the Navy to attempt to take or fight against the New Republic. That's a brief overview of him. So if you do a search for Wikipedia, Grand Admiral Thrawn, you can get more information on all of his battles, but it is hard to say how much of that will actually remain as canon and what will become, or what will be introduced as part of the new Thrawn information. So that's all there is for that. So after the short break, I'll jump into this week's You Can Relax segment. Hey guys, Neil here. If you wanted to help support the show and get some of the content early, help recommend movies, wanted me to review a particular movie or TV show or anything like that, review a specific app, then you can do that in a couple of easy and exciting ways. The easiest way is through PayPal by visiting paypal.me/patelN01 for a one-time donation to the show. I'll be happy to review anything that you want to review, or if you want to just help support the show, maybe support a specific episode because you enjoyed it, you can do that easily. That's paypal.me/patelN01. If you want to help support the show every month, provide questions for feedback, or want me to answer something on the show, help provide your input into what I review for that particular month, you can also visit our Patreon at patreon.com/patelN01. There's a bunch of different levels and unlock goals, so things like getting access so you can relax early, getting access to the film review and app review early. Eventually there's things like an Android app and removing ads from the show, video reviews, and all of that great stuff. So visit patreon.com/patelN01 for a recurring monthly subscription. And of course, if you want to help the network grow and add shows, help get more coverage at cons and all of that fun stuff, you can help support the Geek.io network by visiting patreon.com/geek.io. And of course, we have plenty of other ways to help support the network. So if you shop on Amazon, we have a link to the Amazon page to help give a little kickback every time you purchase something to Amazon, or Pro if you want a special rate on ProXPN and all of that great stuff. Simply visit geek-io.net and check out our support page. So that's really all there is for that. So back to the show. So for this week's You Can Relax segment, I wanted to talk about how I am now hooked on docudrama podcasts. So a while back, I subscribed to a podcast called Welcome to Night Vale. It's a fake town in the middle of, I want to say, the Mideast of the United States where random things occur. And they have really good, or they tell a story really, really well. to the point where it's really engaging, and you sometimes forget that it's a fake town. It gets into the supernatural and all sorts of weird information, but they produce it so well where you kind of, basically it's very engaging and interesting, so I've kept the subscription going. They eventually introduced two other podcasts called Alice Isn't Dead and Within the Wires. Alice Isn't Dead is about a lady's search for her companion named Alice and how she's going about finding her. They just concluded the first season, so definitely worth a listen. And then Within the Wires is a podcast about meditation and relaxation with a slight comedic hint. So if that kind of interests you, then there's that as well. But that led me into wanting to listen to more historical and factual-based podcasts, but with good dramatic production. I tried listening to Dan Carlin's Hardcore History, but for me, I prefer something more regular. So he does produce three, 3 to 4 hour long episodes, so it does take some time to listen to. But I prefer something that's broken down into more shorter segments, so half an hour to an hour, things like that. So I started doing some research, and I found a podcast called, or I heard about a podcast called Lore, where they talk about some of our fears and things that were passed down over the years, and the historical fact and basis of those fears. And it's actually done really well, and so it's worth listening to, so I've continued to listen to it. So it talks about places and peoples and events and things like that, and with the background music and it's basically ominous background music, the host keeps an even pace. So for me, it's really engaging and worth listening to. So if it's something that interests you, I think it's lorepodcast.com, or if you just search for lore podcast, you can look it up. There's also Myths and Legends. So this takes basically stories that are myths and legends and attempts to match it up with the historical fact of the day. So if, for example, they talk about King Arthur, and they attempt to look for, matching regions, things about Merlin. Was it factual? Was there an actual king at that time that could match the description, locations, and things like that? So definitely very interesting. And there's a whole other, there's many other topics, including things like topics on the Vikings and Ragnar Lothbrok, the person who the TV series Vikings is based off of. So definitely worth a listen. That's Myths and Legends. And then there's Unsolved Murders, which talks about various murders that have happened over the years and some of the circumstances and terrors of the time. I like this one because it gives you that old-time radio feel when they're bringing in the radio and information about what happened. So they kind of do character discussions as well, so as if you're listening to that radio broadcast from that time. And then You Must Remember This is a podcast that talks about the history of Hollywood from its origins to about 100 years, or basically the original first 100 years of Hollywood. So the events, the dramas, the relationships, and the people, and various, basically they pick a particular person from the first 100 years and talks about their histories, relationships, troubles, and things like that. So definitely worth a listen. And they do the same thing as Unsolved Murders, where they bring in people to do voiceovers as if that it is that person talking from that period, and they sort of match up that person's accent and style of talking and things like that. So that's You Must Remember This. I think it's at youmustrememberthispodcast.com, but as with other ones, just do a search for You Can Remember This and it should come up. But definitely very well done. So that's a common thing for me when I'm looking for these particular podcasts, is that how well are they produced, how much history and fact do they bring into it, and do they have some sort of dramatic element that keeps it engaging? So is it just a monotonous show, or do they have good music, do they bring in dramatic reenactments, or how are they presenting it in general? So far these are the four podcasts that I've enjoyed so far. I'm still always on the hunt as long as it fits into my schedule. And I've caught up on three out of four, except for You Must Remember This. That one's a little bit long, or been around a little bit longer. So I think I'm up to like episode 13 or 14, and there's about 46 or 47 episodes at the moment. So I'm working back from the start and going forward. But so far I'm engaged. They're worth checking out. So I hope you enjoy those as well. But that is all for this particular episode. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or anything like that, as always, you can email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com, and you can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. You can find past episode links and all of that good stuff at PatelN01.com. As always, if you like the show and the episode, be sure to leave us a good rating on iTunes, preferably 5 stars, and a thumbs up on Google Play Music. If you like this show and want to find more shows on the Geek.io network, or want to check out some of our great sponsors, be sure to visit geek-io.net. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.